email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
In 2016, this is Pop Baby's show Riot burst onto the stages here, and it's a blend of performance and possibility with a healthy dose of glitter and gumption into the mix. This July, it's coming back to Dublin for 4 nights. There'll be 6 performances, and I'm delighted to say that 2 of the stars of the show, Rory O'Neill, aka Panty, and Emma Kieran are here with me in studio. Hi, guys.
Hey, you know.
Hi.
How's it going?
God, I thought it was 2017, and now you and your researcher said it was 2016. I'm terrible.
2016. Look,
he's only in the door and he's correcting me.
No, you're correcting me. You know, I'm the one who's an idiot here.
Okay, I've seen it loads of times, actually. So describe Riot, Emmett, to anybody who hasn't seen it.
It's a big extravaganza. It's theatre, circus, song, dance, comedy, aerial acts, acrobatics.
Poetry,
drag. It's a kind of Moulin Rouge style.
Yes.
Extravaganza. Kind of, what was it? Spectacular. Was that what they call it?
Spectacular cabaret with circus meets. Yeah, it's we have written here the feeling you've had a party and a social awakening all at once.
That's right.
I like to say to people when they go, it's the kind of theatre gig you can take a drink in and you can drink all the way through.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. I found that's a huge selling point. Because they're like, so tell me about this glass of wine from the interval I can bring in the second half. So that'll give you the kind of show that it is. It's all of those things and you can drink.
It's a combination of circus, cabaret and social conscience, correct?
Yes, but the social conscience stuff is really heavily disguised as fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us,
I would say, you know, that nobody's ever gone to it and not had a good time,
no,
have
true,
they? Because it's noisy and loud and colourful.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, you also sort of feel all pumped up and ready to change the world.
Well, yeah, because you both have really amazing monologues. But you're the ringmaster, effectively, Panty, right?
I guess Panty sort of plays the ringmaster role, yeah. In other words, she does very little, but she's out a bit.
Yes.
She's in and out. Okay. And you're a spoken word artist and you deliver incredible, amazing performance.
Thank you.
Describe your place in the
So what we did originally when the show went on, the guys wanted to create this incredible celebration that was happening parallel to the 1916 100 year anniversary. So everybody at that time was reflecting on Ireland as a nation and what it is, what it could be, and the guys decided to make a counter celebration that celebrated all those people that may not be in the main narrative. So they asked me and Panty to write some pieces that might reflect modern Ireland as it is today.
Yeah.
So I do some of them that are about what's happening in the country, about heartbreak, which is, you know, if Ireland was and is cherishing all of the children equally, how does it do that? So Heartbreak was a poem that was in that play and then that went on to become a short film. And all of these poems kind of reflect Ireland as it is, how we want it to be, the good things about Ireland and the things that we can be proud about. And, you know, it's, as Patty said, it's a huge celebration. So celebratory kind of work like that, you know.
The piece Heartbreak that you're mentioning there from Riot went viral at the time.
Yeah.
As did The Noble Call, which is just pure coincidence. And we recently celebrated 10 years of that. It was actually 11 years. The Noble Call was actually the year before the referendum. Do you think the country really does still need this play and these comments?
I think any kind of liberal democracy usually, or left-wing kind of ideas, are fought very hard for.
Yeah.
And they come from the ground up. And you guys know that in terms of the marriage equality.
Yeah.
That was a grassroots movement that didn't come from the top down. And what happens is people become accustomed to the things that we like in life and that are good about our society, but they can just be eroded and chipped away at. And you can see in America, for example, how all those hard-fought, won liberal victories that they have are now being repealed en masse, you know, and history's kind of being rewritten. So I think it's about manning the guard towers against the forces that would try to go backwards or try to bring things backwards, you know.
And how does it feel for you, looking back at the time when you wrote Heartbreak, to now? How does the world compare? I mean, it's obvious there's a huge difference.
Well, one of the things about the character in Heartbreak was that it's a young mother, single mother, who's experiencing homelessness. And in 2024, the Irish Times had an article saying that the number one group going into homelessness are single parents. Wow. And the majority, over 90% of single parent families have a woman at the head of the household. You know,
wow.
There's, I think it was like 2019, even only a few years after that, one-fifth of all single parents were living in homelessness. So the subject matter of that has actually not gotten better, but has worsened.
Yeah.
So I think it's incredibly pertinent for this particular moment to re-examine that and say, okay, well, if this is happening, why is it happening?
It feels even more relevant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. I think part of the reason why Riot is back is I think we all thought as the cast that it was put to bed and we were moving on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Put that behind us. And now it's back because I think Riot, I mean, this is Pop Baby's producers, they kind of looked at the world and thought, actually, you know, Riot feels even more acutely relevant now than it did in 2016. Because as usual, me and Emmett, we were ahead of the curve. We were way ahead of it, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, on that, if you were going to do the noble call tonight,
yeah,
would it be different?
It wouldn't be that different. I think I was a little naive, actually, and for a brief period of time after the referendum, I was very optimistic.
Yeah, we all were.
I really felt like, oh, that's kind of a done deal now.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
here, this is all sorted, and I was very optimistic and positive about the future. You know, from a queer perspective, I absolutely do not feel that now, and there's been a real concerted pushback and all of that. Progress, and
that's across the board.
Been a global thing,
yeah.
But we have not been immune to it here in Ireland at all, and I feel that very keenly now. And you're not the first person actually recently to ask me this sort of similar question. And you know, there's a bit in the Noble Call about standing at a pedestrian crossing and all
checking yourself. I quote it all the time.
I think, you know, when I was young, running around Dublin doing drag, and if I had a gig in, you know, A and then a gig in B, I thought very little at the time of running down the road if it was close. Just, you know, picking up my drag bag and running down the road or running down the street and grabbing a taxi. And I do not treat that, you know, I wasn't stupid. It only takes one idiot to ruin your evening or whatever. But I didn't really
think about it
much. People just reacted with good humor or whatever. Whereas nowadays, after years of people online screaming at you that you're a paedophile or something, I don't treat that so lightly anymore. And even if it's a very short distance, I tend to want to call a cab and I, you know, I go out when the cab arrives, well, you know?
Yeah.
And that's different.
And so I obviously have my own thoughts on safety on our streets.
Yes.
But I can't possibly talk about that now. You have guests, special guests.
We do.
But you're not allowed to tell me, are you not?
Well,
we don't know.
I haven't heard a word.
And sometimes we didn't know them when we were performing. So you might get someone to come on and it might be a singer. It could be a poet.
Exciting. So there's always something a little
There was
different.
Always somebody different.
The guests were always really good guests. They do a very good job
finding
the good guests. I have actually one of my most embarrassing stories ever is we were doing it in Australia. And there'd be a special guest every performance, and I'd be told just before the performance who the guest was. And of course, in Australia, I didn't necessarily know every performer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then one evening, I'm told, even if I could remember his name,
I feel sick for you already.
Let's just say the guy's name. It was an unusual name, you know.
Okay.
So, an unusual name, like, right. And well, we start the show, and we're getting towards the halfway point where I have to introduce the special guest.
You couldn't.
And I'm suddenly thinking, I have no idea what the person's name is. I have no idea. And then I started asking, you're in the middle of the show, so I'm asking like the other cast members who are near me, what's the guy's name? They have no idea. Then there's a song that leads in, and then everybody scoots off stage and leaves me there, and then I have to make a big intro for the special guest. And that happens, and the whole way through the song, I am like, what the hell is the person? I couldn't think of it. And so when it got to the part, and then I tried to draw out my introduction, hoping it would pop in. No. So eventually I just sort of have to go, please welcome. I was cringing inside. And he was a very famous, well-known Australian cabaret artiste.
That was probably in front of about 1,000 people as well.
Yeah.
So it's toured extensively, this show, hasn't it?
It's gone to New York. Yeah, we did it in the Skirball in New York. We did it in the Sydney Festival. It was one of the main shows.
Toronto.
The Sydney Festival.
So because you know it, do you have to, well, you obviously rehearse and refresh, but is it in there, ingrained now?
I'm hoping it is. It's like a muscle. No, we've been going over it the last month or so it is. But
Ian's a much harder worker than I am.
I know that.
So I don't remember anything.
He's just kind of going freestyle. It's, I know you are. Because there's so much many acts, like they, there's so many intricate moving parts. There's aerial work. There's up and over, who are world champion Irish dancers. There's dance routines as well. There's acrobats. So moving all those kind of pieces together, I think, is going to be what we're, you know, not bumping into each other.
And me and Emmett have to do some of the dance routines.
I'm gonna feign a limp, you know. I'm middle-aged now.
Lovely text from Cunnell. Myself and my husband saw this in 2016, and it's still one of the best shows we've ever seen. It's a masterclass in entertainment, but with social conscience. Wake is the only show I've seen that stands up. Same producers,
same guys. Yeah,
I can't wait. Cunnell in County Wexford. That's
nice. Lovely. That's lovely. Very nice.
Do you still? You get? I mean, you do film work, and you're both doing film work all the time. Do you still love theatre as much? Or
Oh yeah, well it's what I primarily work in. It's the thing I do, you know, it's the thing I train for. So yeah, I love theatre, and I love working in it, like, because I work as a playwright as well. So, you know, yeah, it's the world I live in.
And we're all addicted to the live reaction, aren't we?
Are you?
And you don't get that in a film set. Or...
No.
And the thing, that, you know, to get it right is, you know, that option is there when you're doing theatre, because if you don't get it right once, you can do it the next night and the next night, you know, it's the repetition. And it's the
So it's Pride Week, very important week for us. And I just read a report yesterday, over a quarter of US-based corporations have pulled their sponsorship from Dublin Pride.
Yep.
Dublin Pride?
And I've been very privileged that I've been able to go. I've been going to do talks with people who are very concerned in these organisations because they're Irish-based. But there's obviously, since the administration changed, the word diversity has been...
removed,
weaponised, basically. And even the acronym is weaponised now. So... The gracious one, oracle of all gay things. What's the story with that?
Well, do you guys, like, can I ask?
Yeah.
Do you guys think corporate sponsorship of Pride was ever a good thing?
See, we were like, at least they're here.
I think it's a complicated answer. Every Pride in the world, as it gets bigger, eventually reaches a point where the corporate, you know, stuff starts to happen. Yeah. And then we have this conversation that's never really resolved.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's often, for example, it's not that the big corporation wants it to be in it. It's that the queer members of staff in that organization, we want to go and do the thing. And then they ask their bosses for money, and the boss says, oh, sure, you can have it out of our diversity fund or whatever it is. So it is a kind of a complicated thing. Plus, you know, I'm married to a Brazilian, and I remember years ago, it was around Pride time, and we were walking the dog down through Silicon Docks or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, every building... which is not the same this year, but in that time, every building was lit up in rainbow colours and decals and flags, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was kind of blown away.
By how much?
Because he said, you just never see this in Brazil.
Right.
And he and his reaction to it was like, wow, how amazing. And that he could go into any of these buildings and look for a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had never seen it in that way. So I tend to be very... jaundiced about the thing.
Yeah.
And I think that Pride was much more fun before it, you know, when it was just local and the queer groups and all of that. So my attitude to a lot of them pulling out is I don't give a crap. Like, A, they clearly weren't proper allies in the first place. If you know, if they run and turn tail, you know, as soon as, you know, Trump says something. So I honestly don't care. And if Pride became half the size it is again, and it was just local community groups and all that, I'd be thrilled and delighted. But I also accept that, you know, people in the queer group in Diageo want to be in the parade, and good luck to them. I know that Diageo is one of the companies that is doubling down on its support
just
for diversity.
Because it's in America, like what they're doing is, Pride was a protest.
It is a protest.
And I think maybe it is a good thing that it returns to those roots.
Yeah.
I would like to see the visibility of it. In America, they've just gotten rid of Stonewall.
Yeah.
On their websites, they've erased it because they know, and Trump knows, and all these guys know, that if you can erase a person's history or a subgroup of society, not subgroup, but another group of society that it lives outside the regular kind of confines of what they think is normal. If you can erase those people and erase their history, you can erase them from... the world, so it becomes easier basically to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think we see corporations then for what they are. They don't have.
Yeah. So remember that.
Yeah.
Pride is a protest. It's a party and a parade, but it's also a protest. Yeah. So Riot is back in Vicar Street, and it's on the 17th to the 20th of July.
Yeah.
And there are two matinee on Tuesday.
Yes. So there's six shows over 4 days.
17th to the 20th of July, Vicar Street. Get your tickets. This is popbaby.com. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love
Sorry,
you.
I should have said subculture was the word I was
looking for. That was going
to ease you. I know, I was like,
break a leg.
All day and I was like, go on, lads.
Break
so
a leg.
Cool,
take
yeah?
a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.